It's time for Warriors This Week. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play smart, play at Oaks.
Why not? Here's Steph Curry!
Now, here's Sean Dickinson.
And Jim Cosimore. Here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, honestly, you're the headliner, and you are going to be here every week. I'm kind of going to be here as much as I can.
You've been here every week.
Yeah, I have.
Really, since week two.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we're going to have to come up with different options.
I'm fine. I'm happy. I'm not someone to push the envelope. I'm just happy to be here with you, JD, on a day in which I thought I was almost made a joke. I was going to tell an inside joke, and I didn't want to.
Oh, go ahead.
And actually,
you didn't think you were working today?
On the morning of, I know. How many times have you texted me the night before? See you in the morning.
I always do just to see what you say, because sometimes you're like, oh, dude, I'm in Tahoe.
Yeah, I know. That's so true.
I got the family. I'm in Tahoe. What are you talking about? I'm not on the schedule.
Oh, my God. It's just ridiculous. But I am here, and I'm geared up, and I'm excited, because it was a near-perfect evening last night. Wasn't it, JD, a near-perfect evening?
It was a fun ball game to watch. Mm-hmm. If you're a Golden State Warriors fan, as the Warriors lose in Minnesota in overtime, or was it? I mean, that's kind of the question to start the show here. Warriors lose in OT to the Timberwolves, 125-119, the final. A career night for D'Angelo Russell as he returns from the ankle sprain.
So many angles with this.
52 points. He goes off. It was an isolation sensation down the stretch.
I don't like that. Do you? I mean, that's not what we're used to seeing. Well, but when a guy's so smoking, you don't question it, do you?
The big question, I think, coming into the game was, hey, D'Angelo Russell missed three games, and the Warriors, completely stripped of any kind of veteran talent, figured out a way that their young guys could play and be effective and compete. Different style than they had been playing with D'Angelo Russell. And look, a lot of the Warriors stars have been in and out of the lineup, mostly out throughout the first handful of games here. But the big question going into the game last night was, how will D'Angelo Russell fit with this young, competitive group that was doing the best they can to hang in games and even stole one against a Portland Trailblazers team that suddenly is struggling in the Western Conference? I thought, all in all, it worked out pretty well. It felt like Russell was getting his, but other guys were getting shots, until you got into the fourth quarter in the final 6 minutes when the Warriors were seemingly in control of the game. And then it was just get the ball to your best player and let him go, which, look, a lot of teams do that. I didn't really have a problem with that. But the Warriors put themselves in a position to win and then kind of bumbled it away in the final minute, allowed the game to get into overtime with a couple of turnovers, inability to get a defensive rebound off a missed three, and then in overtime, as is the case, that the more talented team typically wins out, and that's what happened.
That's true, but that's kind of what they are right now. When they get efforts like that, I will tell you this. I was pretty hard on Steve Kerr going into the season, saying, well, Mr. Big, you're going to get a chance to see just how difficult the NBA is. And I do think he's had his team, and they are the try-hard Warriors. This isn't a team that's going to be a playoff team. All right, that's my view. This is the try-hard Warriors. It's a bunch of guys getting minutes they wouldn't normally get. They're getting shots they wouldn't normally get because of circumstance. But he has them playing hard. He has them competing. Minnesota should be a better team easily than the Golden State Warriors, and they weren't last night.
Yeah, see, I think they showed their true colors a little bit. Not to make this T-Wolves talk.
Oh, that's true.
But they to me, showed why they ultimately probably can't be a playoff team.
Is it because,
even though they're 5-3 or whatever they are?
Right. I never thought they were going to be.
No, I didn't either. But surprising start.
Came out of the gate with a win in Brooklyn, then a win in Charlotte. And then they started to get things rolling in their direction. You're like, wow, that was kind of surprising. But maybe this is who they really are. They're not good enough to just throw their sneakers on the floor and beat anybody.
You're already seeing in the Western Conference that the 8 seed isn't going to have to be nearly as good as the 8 seed was a year ago.
True.
And that's if you count, let's say you count 7 teams in, right? And look, we get off on this at some point during every show as we spread our wings and look around the league. Two LA teams are in, right? I think you and I agree Denver and Utah are in.
But they haven't been. I know Denver 6-2, sure, and I know Utah 6-3, but both teams have had crappy performance losses.
They have, but they're also still third and fourth, even with those losses.
That's true. Rockets are in.
Rockets and Spurs, I think, have jumped Portland, who's really struggling.
Yep.
But I still think Portland is a cut above some of the teams that currently have better records than them Minnesota, Dallas, Phoenix, teams like that. I think Portland may not be as good as some, myself included, thought they would be, but I still think they are probably a team that gets in that top seven. But what we've already seen is with the Warriors now out of the equation as that eighth team, you've got Dallas, you've got Minnesota, you've got Phoenix, who are all playing well. You've got Sacramento, who started poorly, playing better. All of those four teams, they think they're in a race for that one last spot.
Can I throw Oklahoma City in?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
Nah, I don't. But
of those teams that you name, though, I can build a case that says, you know what, there's a part of their lineup that can compete on any given night. And because it's now two spots, not one spot with an asterisk that's open in the Western Conference, I wouldn't be afraid to lob Oklahoma City, but I'll let you finish your point.
Yeah, and we'll see. And the Warriors are going to be in Oklahoma City tonight to take on the Thunder because that's how the NBA schedule rolls. If you play in Minnesota, you got to go all the way down to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, you know what's interesting?
On the second of a back-to-back. And play them for the second time in less than 2 weeks.
It was a few years ago where Pop and Steve Kerr kind of made their statement on national TV by load managing a bunch of guys on a network game.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of a D move. But I asked, in fact, we're going to hear from Steve Kerr. I did an interview with him. And I asked him a little bit about the tough month of November that they have. They have a 16-game month, JD. That is a busy month. With a couple of back-to-backs laid in there in the first 2 weeks of the month. That's a lot of games in a short amount of time with a depleted roster. They're playing well now. I wonder how they'll look at as we near the middle end of the month of November because of there's have such mass game tonnage and very few days of practice. So it's hard. I asked Steve Kerr about that. It'll be interesting to hear what he says.
Yeah, and I think, look, the NBA likes to say that they've, you know, softened the schedule, but really they softened the schedule in January and February. In October, November, and December, it's just rapid fire, boom, boom. But there's only two times between October and New Year's where the Warriors have more than 2 days off, or have 2 days off, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's all every other day or back-to-back. So, yeah, the schedule is just coming fast and furious, and the Warriors will be back at it tonight here on 95.7 The Game in Oklahoma City. Back to the game last night. The question that I'm left with is, when you look at that ball game and D'Angelo Russell going for 52 points, but the Warriors still can't close it out late against a team that is in a better place than the Warriors are right now, but still may not be a playoff team in the Western Conference, do you think that says to you D'Angelo Russell is a keeper? Or do you think, let that trade value continue to build?
God, that's a, you know what? I'd love to hear what Warrior fans have to say about that. You know, that was one of my issues about the performance last night. Was it the Warriors saying, hey, NBA, Minnesota in particular, because, you know, that's the team he wanted to go to. That's the guy Karl-Anthony Towns he wants to play with.
And Minnesota, maybe, if they think they're a playoff team, maybe that they feel that D'Angelo Russell could be a missing piece.
But what could they possibly cobble together that would be attractive to the Golden State Warriors? What I think that the Minnesota lineup or roster is a bit handcuffed when they gave Andrew Wiggins the immense deal. And that's the part that is going to sting them forever. I know he had a game last night, but that guy's an enigma. He's a complete enigma. He can do that on a pretty regular basis, but doesn't. He had a nice ball game.
Yeah, he does it when he's playing against inferior competition.
There you go. Do it against a team that you know. Do it against the Warrior team that's a 60-win team, and my eyes open. Don't do it against the Warrior team that's got a bunch of guys, some of whom could be playing in Santa Cruz at some point this year.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors This Week with John Dickinson, Jim Cozumore here, 95.7 The Game. We are going to replay an interview, Coz, that you mentioned and that you did with the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. We're going to do that at some point in this hour, the 9 o'clock hour. And we're also going to be joined by Gary St. Jean, Warriors analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, and also co-host with me on the Warriors Weekly podcast that we do here for 95.7 The Game.
You got a lot going on, JD.
There is a lot going on.
You and Saint are podcasting weekly?
Yeah. Every Tuesday we like to drop that one.
Man, that's enormous.
Yeah, here for the first three, four
weeks.
And
where do I get that? Wherever podcasts are found?
Get it on, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and you get 95.7 the game, radio.com. You can get it. We tweet out a bunch of links, and we tweet it and retweet it throughout the week.
All right.
There's plenty of options there. So he's coming up at 10:30. Mark Medina at 11:30 as we talk load management. How's your load, Coz, and does it need to be managed?
You know what? I'm going to have to I'm going to be taking some load management in about a week. So I'm fine for now, but I'm going to be taking it. That is a great question, because it has reared its ugly head already this season when the Clippers had an issue with Kawhi Leonard. They did the right thing by letting the league know what the issue was, a patella tendon issue with Kawhi Leonard. So he was going to get a night off against Milwaukee. And then after the game, Doc Rivers said, well, he's healthy.
Before
the game. He's healthy. Well, you can't say that. The league cracks down on him. It's a $50,000 fine. Now you say, well, what's $50,000 in the NBA world? Doesn't really matter. What does matter is somebody took a night off when they didn't necessarily need to take a night off. And then there's the question of, what do you do when a guy tells you, I'm just not ready to go?
Well, and there's a belief in league circles that the NBA is allowing a different set of rules for Kawhi Leonard than they've allowed for other teams and other players that want to sit guys out.
Is that because, and this has been my belief being in the NBA 24, 25 seasons, I don't even know how long I've been in the NBA, that they certainly cater to the teams that are bringing it home the bank. Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls were the beneficiaries of a lot of things. The Detroit Pistons were the beneficiaries of a lot of things. The Lakers and the Celtics were beneficiaries of a lot of things. The Lakers then became the beneficiaries of a lot of things. When you're really, really good, when you're expected, I think the Golden State Warriors were the beneficiaries of a lot of good things. Doesn't mean they didn't deserve winning. They won. But I do think that, and everyone argues, well, Steph always got crushed and no one blew the whistle, yada, yada. I don't see it that way. I think teams that do well tend to get a benefit of the doubt. Superstars in this league, do they tend to get a benefit of the doubt? I think they do.
And could the Warriors be in a position where they have to determine how they're going to bring some of their guys back, or if they do bring some of their guys back? There was the report from Rick Bucher, a Bleacher Report, that the Warriors, Stephen Curry, unlikely to play this season, and that his hand injury was worse than originally anticipated. The Warriors come out strongly against that report, saying, no, nothing's been ruled out. As far as a firm decision on his status for the year, we'll get back to you right around February 1st with a reevaluation and a timeline at that point.
First, might I say, I love Rick Bucher and I missed him dearly, because this is the kind of stuff he will rip out as often as he possibly can. And it is great fodder for conversation. So we'll get into that a little bit later about if the Warriors are getting a little benefit or not. But I think when Rick brings that up, I'm excited to have the conversation. He is always willing to poke a bear, and he certainly poked a bear with that story.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Your calls, your texts, Warriors this week, rolling on here, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Jim Cozumore, and you at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors lose last night in Minneapolis. An overtime loss to the Timberwolves, 125-119 was the final. So Golden State 2-7. What are your takeaways from that one? Because I got to be honest, I found myself, Coz, going back and forth as D'Angelo Russell went for a career-high 52, thinking, could this guy be a keeper versus let that trade value just continue to pile up as you attempt to maybe rework this Warriors roster for the future?
Well, remember, the way he got his 52 is the way you and I saw him score, was it 27 in the fourth? And bring a team back to a victory when he was with the Brooklyn Nets. It was all him all the time. It's not like he got his 52 in a an emotion offense where the ball just landed in his hands. There were some times when he just ISO'd and took over. And when certain guys are hot, I guess you get it. You let him do that. But I tried to figure out, because you remember when Clay had his immense game where he didn't miss it all in the third quarter? It was against Sacramento, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Back in, 2015?
Exactly. They kind of started feeding him at some point. would D'Angelo Russell fit in that way with this current team? If he's having a night like this, are the Warriors able to just keep feeding that guy because they have so many other great weapons on the floor? I was trying to do the same thing you were doing. How would he fit in? Where would it fit in? Could he continue to be a member of the Warriors because they've maintained he's part of the future, right?
They have.
They've maintained it.
Which is the right thing to say.
But man, I can't help but think that they showcased him just a little bit, especially to the one team that he thought he was going to go to in the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Let's get to Charlie. Charlie's up first here on Warriors this week. Hey, Charlie, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, Charlie?
Listen, I showcase him, and trade him. That's what I would do. I thought it was a good asset to obtain in a very small sample size through a few games in the preseason. I don't think he fits. I don't think he would fit going long term. But now you have this rare opportunity with Steph being out indefinitely, Clay out for the whole year. This should be the D'Lo show. Showcase him, trade him, and hopefully, you know, and I hate the C-word, but I think they're going to lose a bunch of games regardless and get a high draft pick. That's what I would do.
There you go. You know,
Charlie.
And thanks, we appreciate it. I don't think they're going to have to try to tank. Just circumstances made it that their roster isn't as strong as they had hoped, as they had thought it was going to be.
The belief coming off of last night from a lot of people and you know, doing Warriors wrap up after the ball game was almost as if last night was the perfect game. Competitive, Russell goes nuts, but you wind up helping your draft position.
So you have fun watching the game, and yet you still think you benefit in June.
You have fun watching the game, you're entertained by it, but it winds up helping you more once this season is over in terms of the draft position.
And, you know, if it does, and again, you want me to go over this? I seemingly do this a couple times a month. Everyone thinks you've got to get one of the top three picks in the draft in order to get the best player in the draft. Go over all the recent drafts and tell me who the best player from those particular drafts are. Again, you have the best example in your own home. The best player in his draft was Steph Curry. You know the two players taken in front of him? Minnesota took two point guards, right? Was it Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio who they took before Steph Curry?
Yep.
The next draft, who's one of the, if not the best player in that draft? And you'd argue he's in the category of could be the best player in the draft. Klay Thompson. What did he go, 11?
11.
After the Kings maneuvered to get Jimmer Fredette right in front of him? You just need a first-round pick. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to be Kawhi taken at number 15. But if you're in the top 10, you've got as good a chance as any, unless LeBron's coming out, of getting something good. So I don't think you need to go on full-blown tank and win 17 games.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the mode that the Warriors are in.
No, I don't either.
I just think, and that's a word that I haven't even used at this point.
Because
to me, you really can't use that word. I hate the word, but even if you're going to use that word, you don't use that word in October or November.
If you do, then I think the 76ers did a disservice to the NBA. Then I think Major League Baseball has done a disservice to other sports, because I do think that the tank mentality has permeated from, you know, the Sixers were the ones who just trust the process. They were the ones who were the most open about it. But baseball teams have been doing it, and it really affects me. I don't think the Warriors are that type of team. In fact, we saw Joe Lacob, he commented about that. It's not in our DNA. We're not a team that does that. We compete every night. I do think last night was an entertaining game, and it stunk that they lost. But I just like the fact that the team appears to be competing. They're trying hard. They're the try-hard Warriors. And I'll watch a team that tries hard.
And if you look at it, going back to the game against Charlotte, which was the first game where they didn't have Russell, they didn't have Draymond, they didn't have Steph, they didn't have anybody, right? You go back, Charlotte, Portland, at Houston, that's a tough one against a team that figures to be in the playoffs in the Western Conference. And then last night at Minnesota, the Warriors have been competitive in, what, three of those four games? And really three and a half of those four games. I mean, they were competitive for about a half in Houston,
exactly.
And then James Harden took the game over.
Sure. Speaking of James Harden, did you see the the NBA fan who correlated James Harden's good and bad performances based on the strip club ratings in different NBA cities.
Pretty hilarious.
I will tell you, I'm looking for a hobby as I age, and I'm not a good hobby person. That won't be my hobby, tracking strip clubs in cities and guys' productivity in those cities. That won't be my hobby, JD, I promise you.
Well, okay. All right.
Because you're people don't know this. You're kind of borderline genius. You're like one of those guys. Who you are, right? I mean,
yeah,
you have a memory.
No.
Like if we were to take a Mensa exam,
yeah, I could remember.
You would do pretty
well. I could remember the day in, let's say, October of 2001 that, you know, we were working together in a different capacity, and,
right.
And we may or may not have gone to a restaurant and you brought out a bottle of strawberry syrup,
exactly,
raspberry syrup,
exactly. You would remember that. Actually, you got it right. You changed from strawberry to raspberry,
because it was
raspberry. Correct.
Yeah.
I would have forgotten it, and I'm the guy who did the action, so you are a very, very bright young man.
But that isn't really intelligence. It's just...
But you need a hobby.
It's just there.
That's not going to be... Well, that's pretty good, though. But that guy who figured that out, James Harden's productivity based on strip club ratings in different NBA cities, woo! That is something. Could you make that into a movie?
Sure,
like a male hustlers movie?
What would the name of that movie
be? I don't know. Let's think of it. To hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. And speaking of the Chilton Auto Body text line from the 925, someone tried to stream the game and they got the Wolves commentators. This texter says, the Wolves commentators were talking about how great D'Angelo Russell would be on their team.
Look, they've got a veteran point guard, Jeff Teague, who was out last night that has been underwhelming, I think, and he's in the final year of a heavy-duty, big-time money, around $20 million a year.
Yeah.
And he's in the last year of that deal. And look, D'Angelo Russell's still 23 years old. So if the Timberwolves are committed to building around Karl Anthony Towns, who's still young, Andrew Wiggins, who's not even 25 yet,
but his money.
And then another guy in his mid-20s in D'Angelo Russell, I mean, I think that would be, it didn't work with Jimmy Butler. He was a little older, a little different personality type. But, Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell are both on record saying they want to play together, too. So I think that was the subplot from last night's game, Coz, the fact that it was Russell going for 52 right in Minnesota's face, when Minnesota might be the team that would want to acquire him in a trade at some point if they believe that can set their future up in the best light moving forward. Let's get to Mike in Pleasanton. Mike, you're up next here at 888-957-9570. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, you know what? I'm a Laker fan, right? And D'Angelo Russell was drafted by the Lakers. I was a little bit mad that they got rid of him. And you know what? If you guys think that guy is just trade bait, you just scored 52. The guy's a stud. Keep him on the team. Period. End of story, Warriors. And all the fans that say, oh, let's get a draft pick for this guy, you already know who he is. You got a draft pick. You get a draft pick, you don't know what you get when you get a draft pick, right?
Yeah, but Mike, isn't D'Angelo Russell ball heavy? He's so ball dominant that he doesn't fit what the Warriors do as a team.
No, I guess Mike doesn't want to.
Go for it, Mike.
Yeah, listen, hey, the guy's a baller. You want a baller on your team, period. You want to trade him for a draft pick? That's stupid. You already know what you got, right?
All right.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it.
See, I still don't know exactly what he is. And I don't know, is that on me? Because he had the one really good year. We had the one really good year last year with Brooklyn. He's an all-star. He comes to the Western Conference. And this isn't the same. You know, he's a man on an island in a way, because he's playing with a lot of, I don't want to say inferior talent, but he's not playing with Steph and Clay and Draymond on a nightly basis. So he's going to have opportunities to shoot the ball a lot more. So I just don't know how the heck you evaluate him. Mike's right. Heck of a baller, but what type of team is he a baller on? That's my question.
And look, that's where I think a lot of the takeaway from last night's game was, all right, the Warriors were competitive. They wind up losing the game. That helps them down the line. I don't really, like, to me, you need a few wins here and there to stoke the fire for the young players to, in essence, keep them competing at the level they've been competing for the last week. So I throw that out of the conversation. But the thing that I did like about last night's game is you want D'Angelo Russell to be the number one guy with these other young players, right? And he showed he could do that. But the other thing you want from D'Angelo Russell, especially in this time where the other star players for the Warriors are out, you want him to have maximum value. You want him to look like a dominant player. You want to be able to, you want to be able to have teams calling you about D'Angelo Russell because they want him to be a part of their squad moving forward. So much so that you want to consider keeping him, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
I get it.
So that was the part that I think twofold is a good thing. It's a talented piece that's only 23 that maybe you can keep if you want to. But it's also a guy that his value is going to increase in league circles, and maybe you're going to have other teams that want him. You want to keep both of those options available to you if you're the Warriors, regardless of what you ultimately decide to do.
I agree with you on that. I'm just looking, you know, you want to look at this in a way, just a financial way. Wiggins' contract is at $27.5 a year. $27,500,000. Karl Anthony Towns is on the books for $27,285,000 this year. It continues to go up. By the way, he's signed through 23-24. Wiggins is signed through 22-23. D'Angelo Russell is at $27,285,000, signed through 22-23. Will he make over $31 million a year? How many teams are going to fit that guy in? That's the other conundrum I see. How many teams are going to fit that guy in?
Well, Minnesota would be one of them.
Yeah, but they're paying two other guys $27 million now. You're paying three guys $27 million. You've got three guys at nearly $90 million then on your cap. That's going to be so difficult.
But I think Minnesota's the kind of team that
$81 million, I think,
in drafting or trading for Wiggins, from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And having Karl Anthony Towns be their pick. And the inability to have just, you know, big name free agents say, I want to go play in Minnesota. If they're able to acquire another player of that ilk and he's under contract, team control, I think that's the only way a franchise like Minnesota would get a player of that ilk to go with the other two players they have, assuming that they want to build around those two guys and then ultimately those three guys.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the way rosters are constructed, you wonder how many different guys you can pay megabucks unless you're willing to go over the luxury tax. And I think that the Warriors would be willing to do that because they've won championships, number one, and because they have such a huge financial boom with what they've done with the Chase Center and the surrounding area. Don't just think about the fact that they built a new building. Think about the fact that they've built a new complex of places in which they're going to be able to benefit and make money.
All right, 888-957-9570. It's time for our call of the game. We're going to take the third caller right now, 888-957-9570. If you know the call of the game, call in right now. It's for $200 to Schroeder's. This is our call of the game from last night's game, Warriors and the Timberwolves.
I drove by Schroeder's this morning.
A few people have missed this one the last couple of games, so the pot is up to $200 to Schroeder's in San Francisco. Be the correct caller right now, and we'll get you in on that. Gilbert in Concord, you were on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. And I have a comment about, you guys are already talking about D'Angelo Russell, whether he's going to be traded or not. Why can't you guys just let players play the game, let the thing work itself out? The same thing we did to Kevin Durant. What if we were just talking about when you're going to go to the AM station, man, and just everybody chattering, hey, you know what, this guy should go.
All right, just relax, Gilbert. Just relax. We don't need to hear him anymore. Pipe down. Listen, this is what you do when it comes to an NBA season that's a completely different season than what the team has been used to for the last 7 years. It is a different year in which you have different pieces and you're trying to see how they fit. Do you think that D'Angelo Russell would be performing at a high level if Steph was on the floor at the same time, if Klay was on the floor at the same time, and if Draymond was on the floor at the same time? And by the way, how often would those four guys be on the floor together? That's what I'd like to know. What's D'Angelo Russell, 6'4"? You're going to go 6'5", 6'3", 6'7", and Draymond 6'7"? You're going to go 6'7", 6'7", 6'4", 6'3", and then whoever you have in the middle? It could be an interesting team to watch. It could be fun. But I don't know. And so that's why you try to look at the future and see, are the Warriors going to want to keep a guy like this because he's a younger baller? Or do you ride with the horses who got you all the great stuff that they got you and then find a way to improve your team with some of your assets? And that's exactly what the guy is. He's an asset. So there you have it.
All right, let's go to Matthew in Danville. Matthew, our call of the game. Matthew, do you know what last night's call of the game was as the Warriors fell in Minnesota?
Hey, fellas. The call of the day from yesterday was D'Angelo Russell's three-pointer. His 52nd point, he had 49, he had a three, and he had 52 after that three-pointer to, I think, at that point, they were only down by one after he hit that shot.
All right, Matthew, let's find out if you're correct.
It's time for the call of the game. Brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile.
Russell again will let it roll. Still letting it roll. Clock won't start. He'll pick it up in the backcourt. Cross time. Here comes Chris. There's the screen. Gets a good one. Russell has room. Takes a three. Got it! Just like that, he's got 52, and the Warriors trail by one.
Matthew, you are a big winner. Nice work.
Nice. Thanks, guys.
Hold the line, and we will get you set up with $200 to Schroeder's in San Francisco. Matthew and Danville correctly identifying our call.
Way to go,
Matty. Game last night here.
It's cold in the D. It's cold in the D.
It is. That's a nice little prize.
It is a nice. Actually, it is a pretty cool little prize there. So, Matthew, I'm down here all the time. If you want to go meet at Schroeder's, I'd be happy to spend some of that $200 large on you.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? If you'd like to buy a round, you just let me know.
Yeah.
JD and I will be there.
A round or a couple of rounds.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I can handle a couple of my age, but I'll take whatever I can get. Real quick, off the Chilton Autobody text line, someone was asking about the D'Angelo Russell deal with the Warriors and the Nets, and they wanted to know if the Warriors gave up a first rounder in that trade. It's a protected first rounder.
Yeah, 1 through 20.
Part of it. So I don't think you're going to have to worry, but that's a very fair question because some people do want to remember just exactly what went on in that deal. It is a protected first rounder. The guess is the Warriors will be picking somewhere between 1 and 20 in the first round.
Yeah, and look, the Warriors would have to be a top 10 team in the NBA. Think of it that way. The only way the Warriors would not have their pick is if they're a top 10 team in the NBA this season.
Yeah.
So there's your answer.
All right. Just looking through. I like to, have you ever gone to NBADraft.net?
Oh, yeah.
They have,
I'm going to be doing it a lot more than I have in previous years.
Than you're used to.
But I haven't done it yet.
I like to peruse, and it's interesting to see some of the young players coming up. And I guess there's this story about a guy, James Wiseman, who was playing at Memphis. He had one game. I think he had 28 points and 12 rebounds in the game, but then he has been deemed not playable by, is it the NCAA?
Right, but then they got a court order.
It gets, it's just so ugly, the college game. It's so ugly. Penny Hardaway moved him and his family to Memphis to play. And
I'll say this, I want to see him play as somebody that could potentially be a member of the Golden State Warriors a year from now. When it was deemed that he was ineligible and wasn't going to play, I was For doggone on.
He's 7'1 with a wingspan of 7'4.5. Athletic player.
So, he might fit.
You know what?
He might fit with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Robert Covington.
Let me tell you, here's another way.
Did I say that?
I know. Look at you. Look at you thinking that possibly D'Lo is going over there for a little Covington, who's an excellent defender.
Excellent defender. It can knock down the three.
Yep. And what do you need in this day and age, especially that team, the Warriors, to spread the floor? That's exactly what
you need. They need a small forward that can also play the four. And I'm not sure Eric Paschal is that guy. For as good as he is, and we're going to talk about him, I still have a hard time thinking that he's a three. I think he's a four and even more of a 4-5 than a 3-4.
Oh, you think 4-5, huh? Okay.
Really a four? I mean, although Steve Kerr keeps saying, well, he's an undersized four. Well, Draymond was an undersized four.
Yeah. But, and in positionless basketball, we're not looking at you know, you're not always going to get behemoths.
To me, it's more if you can guard up as opposed to can you guard down? And I'm just, I don't know. I'm not sure Eric Paschal can guard threes, but we got a long way to go on that. I want to get in Scott and Berkeley here on 95.7 The Game, and we're also going to replay an interview that you did with the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, coming up here on 95.7 The Game.
Questions too. You're going to want to hear this
as well. Hey, Scott, you're on Warriors this week.
Morning, fellas.
Hi. Good morning.
I'm kind of disappointed. You stole my point about whatever the deal is, because while I'm thinking salary slots, and the obvious thing would be that Russell and Wiggins would be the fit. The guy that I always wanted, if he's healthy, is Covington.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder. I said this last night on Warriors Wrap-Up. I wonder what the Warriors' evaluation is on Wiggins, because I think a good portion of the league thinks he's just a rousing disappointment. But he's only 24, and he's got an athleticism and a body type that I could see the Warriors actually believing, you know, could be a player, although a high price point, could be a player that actually fits with the other three and really be a benefit as sort of a multi-positional, get the guy motivated to defend and do the little things, you know, kind of a player.
And he hasn't had the injury issues that Robert has had thus far. The only question I guess I would have is he really a three or is he a two?
Yeah, and they've played him at the two, and that's fair. I mean, that's fair, although he is 6'8".
Yeah, so, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just one of those things. Are you guys going to discuss the other Bleacher Report story about how everybody's looking to get revenge on the Dubs?
We'll get there.
Oh yeah,
we'll get there, buddy.
Yeah. And you want to get in early on that one,
you
Scott?
You want to start the conversation, because we always love hearing from you, Scott. You're well thought out every time.
Okay, three thoughts. One, I've always kind of felt that going back to 2014, 2015, there's a view of the Warriors that they somehow jumped the line at the club.
I think that's a fair view.
I think if they had had a run that was, you know, like Dallas's run through the first part of the millennium, where, you know, they were constantly a playoff team, eventually got there, probably people wouldn't have had that issue. I do think a lot of people in the league, and I'll be specific about it, I think LeBron and Clutch, I think Morey and Harden, you know, have driven this narrative about how lucky they are. And Doc has driven a lot of that, too.
You think so? Not maybe in the last 2 years, but early on, he definitely did.
Yeah.
How could you do that, though?
Yeah, well,
what is their belief that they got lucky?
Well, teams that were out, played teams with injured players, the first championship run, you know, that kind of thing. Lucky in that Durant came after they, you know, won 73 games and didn't. You don't win the championship, but Durant comes. So, in essence, you not winning helped you. And look, Scott, I think there's a portion of the league right now that's thinking, oh, great, watch the Warriors get the number one pick now or a top three pick, and they're going to be right back on top next year. So I actually don't think that, you know, disdain for the Warriors is actually letting up at all.
Well, the other part of the disdain, and this is real personal to me, and Iguodala, and Andre has brought it up on a few occasions, there's a certain element of the league that does not like Stephen Clay's skin tone. They don't like the color of Steph's eyes. They don't like their upbringing. And I've always felt that part of it has been, I mean, when they complain about Steph shimmying, I hate to kind of point this out, but Steph's previous coach before Steve Kerr, when he was a player, he was pretty well known for, after a good pass, doing a shimmy.
Heck yeah, he invented the shimmy. Are you kidding me? Mark Jackson invented it.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
Nope. Yep. We're up against it a little bit.
We're up
great
against
call.
A break.
Give Scott
but I like
some
Scott.
Time.
Yeah, I'm a big Scott guy, and I could talk to him for the next half hour just about the NBA.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr going to join us next here, Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore, Warriors This Week here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, let's get to it. Coz, you had a chance to speak with Steve Kerr this week. Now, the team had just gone from Houston to Minneapolis, so you caught up with the head coach in Minneapolis after the team had landed,
right?
But before the ball game last night.
Right, a lot of things to go over, and so it's less game-specific and more overriding thought on where the team is, how he's going to determine what they are, what he sees, how much practice time they're going to be able to have. It's more of a, if I can use the phrase, 30,000-foot view of how he sees the Warriors and how he, or who he uses to judge what's going on, and whether or not this is a fun year for him and his staff in a different way than winning is.
So here's that interview.
Time for a weekly conversation with the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr. He is on the road with his team. And Steve, let's start with that. Early season road trips. How much of a believer are you that an early season trip for a few games can be beneficial, especially for a young team, in having them be together, travel together, and maybe come together on the floor?
I think there's some truth to that. You know, in the NBA, the season is so long. There's so many trips that eventually they kind of start to blend together. But early on, you definitely have to get to know each other on and off the floor. So a couple team dinners can go a long way.
You know, this is a busy month for you guys. 16 games in November, which is tough for any practice schedule. How much time are you getting with this young group of guys to do some teaching with them?
Yeah, the games have been coming fast and furiously. So it's, you know, the practice times that we have are, you know, they're fleeting, but we've got to take advantage of every minute we have. So our shoot-arounds on game days are actually filled with a lot more teaching than they would have been the last few years. And even on a travel day like today, you know, we had a really good practice in Houston before we flew off. So we need the work. We need a lot of work because of our youth. But the group's been great. They're really eager learners, and I think they're doing a really good job of picking things up.
You know what I'm interested to watch during the games is you guys on the sideline, because this, we all understand, is a different year for Warrior fans to go through. They're used to you guys playing deep into June. Circumstances are going to be different this time around. But in a weird way for you and your coaching staff, are you guys enjoying this in a different way because you get to be hands-on with more direct teaching when you get those opportunities to teach?
It's definitely different. I find myself during games standing up a lot more. I'm calling a lot more plays. I'm communicating a lot more. You know, the last few years we've had these veteran teams. We knew exactly what we were doing. I spent a lot of time sitting on the bench just observing and letting the guys play, but I don't have that luxury with this group. So, but it's fun. It's a different group, different style, and as coaches, you know, we have to do everything we can to help these young guys, and our staff's doing that.
Particularly for you, because since you've stepped into the lead chair, it's been deep runs into the playoffs. Have you reached out to anybody just to say, hey, how do I maybe pick brains on approaching the season differently, approaching practices or even games differently this year?
I use my staff for that, and that's where Mike Brown and Ron Adams have really made an impact, because both guys have been through a lot in this league as coaches. They've seen a lot. They've coached great teams. They've also coached teams that didn't do so well, and everything in between. And so, you know, for me, I lean on Mike and Ron, and you know, Mike's been great in terms of talking about, you know, practice time and how much we're spending on each thing. And, you know, Ron's been great on a more philosophical level, you know, how to approach a season like this psychologically. So it's great. I mean, but that's the point of having a coaching staff. You want to have a group of guys with some diverse experience, and those two guys are really helping me out.
Those guys are very beneficial. Your entire staff is beneficial, but also you have a couple of other guys who are important who might not be able to play right now, Steph and Clay, recently Draymond. But how important is it for you to have those guys around this group of young players to maybe make sure that they help teach what the Warrior way is, and to make sure those young guys realize, hey, we're still a part of a team with these two guys who are injured?
Yeah, and I'll even throw a third one in with Draymond. You know, Draymond's not on this trip because of his injury, and it's a different dynamic without him and without Steph and Clay. There's a different feel in the locker room, and so we look forward to having those guys around, and they will be around more, you know, as the season goes on. And especially at home, Draymond should be back playing next week. You know, but Clay's Clay's words for our guys mean an awful lot. They don't know him very well, but when he speaks, our guys, you can tell they perk up, they listen, and with Steph and Draymond, you know, they went through training camp with the whole team, and all the young guys, you know, already know them and respect them, and so we need that leadership from within for sure.
Steve Kerr with us for his weekly visit on 95.7 The Game, your proud home of the Golden State Warriors. Let's talk about a couple of those guys. Let's start with Eric Paschal. What impresses you about what Eric has been doing on the floor for you recently?
Well, you know, the last couple of games he's knocked down, I think, maybe 6 or 7 three-pointers, which is, you know, not supposed to be his game. But the guy's got great confidence in his ability. And, you know, the one thing we knew coming into the season was that he could hold up athletically and strength-wise in the league. That's what was attractive about him coming out of Villanova. You know, he just had the look and the explosion of an NBA player. But now you can see he's got the confidence and a lot of the skill that needs to come with it. So we got really lucky, you know, getting Eric in the second round. And, you know, I think he's going to be a keeper for us. And you know, as long as he continues to work and get better, I think we have a really good player on our hands.
As you continue to learn more and more about what guys like Eric Paschal can do on the floor, will you, in some instances, test them and maybe push them, ask them to guard a player that maybe they're not ready to guard, or do different things on the floor to stretch their game, to maybe show them that they might have an ability to do something they didn't even know they could do?
Yeah, I think that's part of what this season is about. You know, with the injuries that we have, there's a door that's opened for these young guys, but there's also a door that's opened for us as a staff and as an organization. You know, instead of worrying about every single game, whether we're going to win or lose, and you know, where are we in the playoff race, you know, we can focus on individual improvement, and that's helpful, which means, you know, we may be able to have a guy, you know, do certain things on the floor during a game and find out if he's capable of it without worrying about you know, the end result. And I think that may pay dividends down the road, where we can, you know, all of a sudden have a guy who, you know, we realize now it can give us more than we thought before, because we've been able to experiment with something. And I think Eric's 3-point shot is a perfect example of that. You know, I in camp I might have told him, you know, I don't want you pulling up from the 3-point line on the wing in transition. Now it's like, all right, you've made a couple of them. Let's see if you can stay consistent with this.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I like hearing how you yourself see players and how that progresses throughout a season. Alec Burks, finally get a chance to see him, and now has a real breakout the other night with 28 off the bench. What do you expect of Alec Burks? What did you think you were getting as a player?
Well, I think this is what we expected, because Alec has been in the league for a while. He's been an explosive scorer, and we've coached against him. He's a guy who can really get into the paint and cause your defense a lot of problems. So it's good to have him healthy. You know, he missed the first few games and missed a lot of the exhibition season, and it's great to have him out there, because now we've got a weapon. We've got a guy we can use in a few different ways, and we're just starting to you know, kind of put all these things together now that we're getting guys healthy, and I think he's going to get better and better.
Give me a D'Angelo Russell update. How healthy is he? What type of return and any minutes restriction when he comes back?
Yeah, he's probable for tomorrow. He practiced 100% today and looked good. So, you know, we're hoping he's ready to roll tomorrow. We need him. You know, we've been playing with 9 players the last 2 games, and that's tough in itself, but especially with everybody's inexperience. We need D'Angelo's experience, his ability to settle the game down, and obviously his skill. So we're expecting him to play tomorrow, and we're excited to get him back.
I'm going to get a general NBA thought. I'm not going to ask you specifically about the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard situation. They're fined $50,000. Your general thoughts about load management in the NBA today? Because you and Greg Popovich were pretty open about scheduling and making sure guys get enough time off, which is odd because you've got a busy, busy month of November. But your general thoughts on players, teams, and load management?
Well, it's an unfortunate phrase, I think, load management. I think it opens up a lot for the imagination. And what does that actually mean? In the case of most players, if a guy's banged up, you just say he's banged up, you know. For us, the last couple of years, the schedule has often been an issue. The league has done a great job cleaning that up. You know, we no longer have these insane stretches of, eight games in 12 days and in different cities and all this stuff. The league has really made a concerted effort to ease the schedule for the players. So they've done their job, and I don't like to see players when they're healthy, resting too much. But I also understand that everybody's got a unique set of circumstances, and coaches have to do whatever's best for the long-term health of their player and their team. And so there's a lot that can happen within that. So there's no easy answer.
So I'll circle back to finish up. You said early on you find yourself getting up and walking the sideline a little more than often than you used to. How's your back? Because remember a couple years ago you had I'd like to know, how's your back doing? And here's why I'm asking, Steve. I've got to have two discs replaced in about a week. So tell me something positive.
Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing better. I appreciate you asking. It's no fun getting that stuff done, but do your rehab. You'll be all right.
You able to play golf still?
A little bit. I haven't played a whole lot, but usually during the season I don't play much anyway. I'm pretty busy with the team, but I'm doing better. So thanks for asking.
Good. I'm glad you are, and thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the road trip. Enjoy watching this team grow, because I do believe you're going to have a different way of appreciating this season as opposed to the way you could appreciate it the previous 5 years. Steve, it's always great talking to you. Thanks for joining us on 95.7 The Game.
You too. Thanks so much. Take care.
All right, the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, here on 95.7 The Game. As you listen to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station, hour number two with John Dickinson and Jim Cosimore, Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. Biggest takeaway from that interview, Coz?
Hopefully his back is better. It's number one. That's my number one takeaway from that. I was intrigued at how he and the coaching staff view the season. And listen, they have performed at the highest of high levels, where every night for Ron Adams was creating a defense that mattered because you were on the verge of going towards a championship run, where he was a head coach in that fashion, where Mike Brown and before him other guys were the next offensive assistant in line who were helping things out. This year is completely different for him. Let's put it this way. He has never coached a bad team. He has only coached a team that has NBA Finals runs. So my biggest takeaway was how they look at the year, how it is interesting and fun in a different way for them because they get to flex a different muscle to try to keep guys competitive and help guys grow. There are some organizations who do use the T word internally, tank, and you can almost see it on the sideline. I don't think Steve Kerr and his staff are letting his guys tank and run willy-nilly around the floor for 82 games. I think he's coaching them as if he would have coached a team that could be a deep playoff team and trying to get them to learn what the Warrior system is. That and the fact that having Steph and Draymond and Klay around this group, even though those three guys are injured, to help them kind of marinate in the Warrior way.
And I think you have to like the way that it's looked since, the way I put it, the Band-Aid got ripped off. Mm-hmm. I think when Stephen Curry went out and then Draymond couldn't play with the finger injury, and then D'Angelo Russell sprained his ankle, and you didn't have any of the four All-Stars or Kevon Looney, and you had nine guys that had to just go out and compete on a night-in, night-out basis. I think the Band-Aid was ripped off at that point, and it actually helped Steve Kerr get the message across as to, hey, we're going to have to figure out some way to get this done every night.
Sure.
And I think players, it's an easier buy-in, I think, when you... Everybody just knows the situation and knows, hey, there's a lot of talent that isn't going to be around. Everybody's got to suck it up a little bit.
And I'd like to hear from somebody on the Chilton Autobody text line or 888-957-9570. There were early season games, I mean the first week of the season, where I thought the look on the face of Steve Kerr was not a good look, where I think he was kind of sitting there stunned going, uh-oh,
I knew it wasn't going to be like it was, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. And I think he's corrected that. But early in the season, there were a couple of games where I saw him sitting there with that vapid look of, uh-oh, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. Anyone's ready for this, because we know the bar we've set. We know the caliber that we have right now to deal with. He just didn't know it was going to be that bad. So I give him credit for and that's my perception, that he had that look. He's bounced out of that. And I think he's up off his chair more than he normally would be. And I think that's a good sign. And he's getting energized in a different manner.
And make no mistake, the critics were coming for Steve Kerr. Look, we've talked about Stephen Curry and Draymond Green having the target on their back, and a lot of other players in the league wanting to come at Stephen Curry for, now that he's down because he had all that talent around him. I think that's the league view, from certain stars and certain teams, that, okay, let's see how Steph Curry does without three other all-stars around him. Draymond, you've talked all kinds of smack about everybody for the last 5 years. Let's see how you do with only Stephen Curry and not four all-stars alongside you and Andre Iguodala and all the like. So I think we talked about that. And there isn't going to be as much of that, obviously, because Curry's not going to play till at least February, and Draymond Green's been out. But for Steve Kerr, I think he was in a similar position where teams are going to come at him.